Well, good evening. Thank you, Brian and Noah, guys at the back. I'm sure all of you would agree with me about the accuracy of Scripture. We've read this verse already today. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We've done that. Doesn't say anything about sermons. Doesn't say anything about a Sunday night sermon. So why don't I call it a night? I'll pray. We can go home. And we'll call it a very good edifying day. If you wish, I'll have a little talk. If you want to stick around for that, hopefully. Well, if you want to stay, you can stay. This works here. Jamie had mentioned that he would like to have the young guys give a talk on the church. So I thought, really? That's what I got to do to be young? Give a talk to the church on the church? Sign me up. So I ran over to Jamie and said, Jamie, when can I speak? This says my device is offline. Please sign in with a different password. Maybe we will give pray and call that a night. So, what do I got? Let me see if this works. What do I got to do to connect my computer to? It wasn't plugged in. Yeah, there we are. Okay. Good. Okay, so let's read that. I want to talk about the church. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4. Maybe just while you turn there, I'll open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Help us to look into your word and see what your word would say. Help us to respond to your word as you would like us to. Thank you for the blessings that are ours because of Christ. Thank you for all the things that you have done for us and will do for all eternity. So we would just ask your blessing now this evening in our Savior's name. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So this is speaking about the church as a body. Now, I have to admit, in this passage, it talks about the church as a body of Christ. And I went through this whole study, and I was looking at the church as a body, a group of believers as a body. And it talks about the church as a body of Christ. And I kind of ignored it. So my presentation doesn't have anything to say about the church being a body of Christ. And this morning in Brett's prayer, he prayed that we would learn something about Christ this today and this evening. I don't have anything about Christ. And I went and examined again, and the whole impact that this passage has is because the body is the body of Christ. So, pardon the slides not making reference to it, but the whole impact, the whole point of the passage of the body is the body is the body of Christ. One of my principles of interpretation is if I don't understand something, I skip it. It's not one of the ones that Mark mentioned this morning. I don't understand how the church is the body of Christ. I don't get it, so I skipped it. But it's so very important that the significance of the church and the way it works is because it's the body of Christ. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is, eh? It's all about the body developing and growing to the stature and fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. That's his body. Speaking about us. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Okay. So, I want to talk about then the way this body works, the body that is the body of Christ. We're composed of it. If we go back to verse 11, I want to just pick up some verbs here. And he himself gave some to be apostles. So Christ gave, right? And he gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teaching for equipping. So Christ gave these people, teachers, evangelists, for the equipping of the saints. And the saints, they do the work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gave these men certain with certain characteristics and certain gifting for the equipping of the saints, that they would work for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. One of the things I've observed just in my own study of the word is to take it backwards. Allow me to do this. So Christ desires that his body would be built up, that we, members of his body, would be built up. The way it's built up is by saints doing the work, or edifying being built up. And the way it's built up is saints doing the work of ministry. And the way the saints are equipped to do the work of ministry is by men who God gave to the church with special gifting. In some ways, I think of them like, you know, they used to be in the ministry and then they focused on equipping. Sort of like a famous local guy, Randy Carlyle, right? He was a hockey player, defenseman, played for the Leafs. And then he left the work that he was doing and he went into equipping training, strategizing, developing the plays, developing the players. He went into equipping teams instead of playing himself. Right? I can remember when we first came to the chapel, we asked if we could come into the fellowship. And so the elders sat down with us, and they said, okay, well, what can you do? Like, they want to know what position to put us at, like a coach, right? Well, what can you do? And we kind of said, well, we didn't say anything. You know, we believe in the church as a spectator sport, you know, and not too involved, you know. We bring popcorn and hot dogs, you know. And so the elders were kind to us, and they said, oh, yeah, well, we have potlucks. So they welcomed us to the fellowship, and for a long time, we still didn't do very much in the church. I'm not saying we do much now, but we didn't really have a strong contribution to make to the church. Well, that's what the elders were doing. They were trying to place us to equip the church, okay? And the whole purpose of this, the whole objective that God has for the body, for us, the way functioning, is that we would grow up in all things into him who is the head. That is Christ. God desires growth in the body that's Christ. Christ is the head of this body. Not sure what that means. I wait some younger person to tell us that when they are explaining how the church works. But let's keep reading. There's some points in how this works. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The whole body, joined and knit together. The King James Version, I kind of like it, says, fitly joined together, integrated with each other. Another passage says, we're members one of another. This joined and knit together, effectively working, every part does its share. Say with me, every part does its share, okay? Every part does its share. And to edify itself in love. So I want to talk about this idea of every part doing its share. Effective working. There's almost the suggestion here that it's possible, don't I know, that every part isn't doing its share. Some have popcorn and hot dogs, right? And so the design of the body, Christ is head, we're all members of his body. Of course, he wants all the members to be doing its share. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to turn there in a minute, but don't turn there yet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are two types of problems that's being addressed for members not doing their share. Okay? In the first example, the foot says, I'm not a hand, therefore I'm not of the body. The second example says, of the first category, says, the ear says, I can't see, so I can't make a contribution. So with the first category here is this person steps away disqualifies himself from making a contribution to the church. The second category is the eye says to the hand, I don't need you. I don't need your contribution, and I don't need you. That's the second category. There's only two categories, apparently, that the Bible teaches. So when I was studying for this, I did not know what the solution to these two problems were. And I want to ask you, I'm not going to ask you to tell me out loud what the Bible says is the solution to these two problems. I've been in the church for several decades, and I know these two examples, but in all honesty, I did not know the solution the Bible gives to these two problems. It's kind of blew my mind when I read it. So I'm saying I failed the quiz. I'm going to ask you to take the quiz. Take it just for yourself. What is the solution when a person says, I disqualify myself, I'm not going to participate? Or the other part is, I don't need you. I don't need what you bring. I'm satisfied with myself. What is the solution to that? Okay? Okay, so we'll move on. So let's just turn then to 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. For as the verse 12, for as the body is one, has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Well, how is that an answer to a person who disqualifies themselves? Well, let me talk to you about that a little bit. In many ways, I've spent years kind of in this place, come and go. And when we came to the chapel, I was one of these people who disqualified myself. And I'd sit Sunday morning, and I would tell myself how I can't take part. I'd disqualify myself. And I can tell you, I can hardly believe how this passage speaks into my life so much. Now, my path out of where I was not this passage, but it mirrored this exactly. So let me walk you through this a little bit. This person has a problem with eye talk. This person says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. And the Spirit doesn't criticize him for talking like that. Spirit says this. Is it therefore not of the body? And I can hardly believe the gentleness in which the Spirit speaks into this. So you say that you're not of the body. If an eye says that, If a foot says that, does that mean it's not a body? It's still part of the body. And the Spirit of God doesn't say this person's wrong. He just asks a question. Doesn't criticize them. Just asks the question. If the foot says, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, the answer is obvious, but the Bible doesn't give the answer. It's like the person has to recognize it for himself. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Doesn't give the answer. And the person who's got this problem with bad eye talk answers it for himself. And it's like the Spirit of God just leaves this problem to this person and just asks a couple questions very gently and says, where would the hearing be if it was all an eye? The answer's obvious, but the Bible doesn't give the answer. Wants a person who's got this problem to recognize in himself. And then when a person recognizes, like I had to, that I'm giving myself bad messages. Listen to the message God gives. It's amazing. God has set the members, each one of them. It's underlined, every member, each one of them, is in the body just as he pleased. Can you say that with me? Just as he pleased. Just as he pleased. God has set you and me. Doesn't matter what messages you give yourself. God has set you and me in the body exactly where he wants us to be for his pleasure. As it pleased him. Okay? I didn't know that was the answer to the first thing. So I can tell you that mirrors my path, but I didn't know that was the answer to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 until I started digging into this. Oh, wow. You know, because that's me. Okay. The second one. In the first example, the person puts themselves down and others up. I'm not the hand, therefore I'm not of the body. In the second example, the person puts themselves up and others down. And in this example, the Spirit of God isn't so gentle. It tells it a little bit more candid. The person's stronger. Person could probably take it. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. You can't say that. Nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. It's not quite so gentle. It says, we can't say this. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacks it. God has designed the body of Christ that you and I are members of. He's put it together. He's composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but rather the members should have the same care one for another. So schism is a division. Let's just back up a little bit. Can we say together, greater honor to that part which lacks it? Greater honor to that part which lacks it. Okay. And there's a bit of a warning here. So in the first case, likely we don't see collateral damage. This person is not contributing, but we don't see collateral damage. In the it doesn't seem to be affecting other people. It doesn't talk about, the Word of God doesn't say that it's affecting other people. In the second example, it says that there'll be schisms, there'll be divisions. And you take, for example, there are many different churches that have split because of this COVID and the responses to COVID. Were they honoring each other? I mean, probably not. The solution to divisions is to give greater honor to that part which lacks it. That's the way the body works. You take yourself, you get a paper cut. Well, that finger, you put a Band-Aid on it, and that finger sticks out until it gets fixed, until it heals itself. And that's what we have in this sense, like the giving greater honor to the part that seems to be less. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. You get a paper cut in your pinky, you suffer with it. And that's the way it is in the church. If a member suffers, we all suffer. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Okay? So then, up to date, then we've got Christ is the head of the body. We're members of his body. He desires that everybody would be doing the work of ministry, every part doing its share to those who tend to step away. He says, I put you in the body exactly where you are for my pleasure. And to those who think that they may be better than other people, he says, listen, give honor to those parts that lack. This is Christ's body. We need to honor it. You know, how do you honor the part that lacks? Well, I think the first example is honoring. I think the Spirit honors those people who seem to have bad eye talk and are stepping away. The Spirit honors them. He comes to them gently, listens to what they have to say, and exposes, lets them see the error, and gives them a whole different way of thinking. And it's so beautiful. You've been placed here for God's own pleasure. Okay? So then, there's one other passage then. Oh, sorry, right at the end of this passage, it says, I'll show you a more excellent way, and it's the way of love. And certainly I didn't highlight it, but it's knit together in love, right? Every joint, Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about every joint being knit together in love. So here again, the more excellent way is love. And the theme really that runs through this response in both of these issues is the issue of love. Okay? Then in Romans chapter 12, we have another example of the body and how it's working together. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So which side? We saw that there's two sides of the coin, right? One side says, I put myself down, I withdraw, others are better. The other side of the coin says, I think lots of myself, I don't think much of you, I don't need you. Which side of the coin is this one? Is this making myself big, or is this and others small, or making myself small and others big? Well, we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. So I think this is the side of the coin where the danger is a person thinks too highly of themselves and they don't appreciate other people. So I think this is only, this Romans 12 here is just the one side, which potentially is a bigger problem because we saw it can lead to schisms, lead to divisions, right? For we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so that we being many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another, having then gifts differing according to grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He that teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what's good. So there's some many points. I could have maybe picked out some other ones, but starting at verse 10, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of saints, giving hospitality. So, of course, love without hypocrisy, verse 9, that's going to come up. Abhor what's evil, cling to what's good. This is another verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference one to another. So, of course, love's going to be top of the list. Honor's going to be top of the list. Some versions give this idea of giving preference one to another. It's to outdo each other in showing honor to each other. Okay? Not lagging in diligence. Some translations say zeal, being zealous. And I have to say I love the zeal of our young people. You know, you take Emily and Michaela and the things that they're doing. It's wonderful to see. Well, when you get my age, unfortunately, sometimes the zeal can fade a little bit. Not to be lagging in diligence, not to lag in zeal, fervent in spirit, be in intense in spiritual things, not flippant, but be fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, this applies to us all, every member making a contribution, rejoicing in hope. Hope is key. He that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Hope is critical to our Christian life and our Christian walk, and we're to rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, and distributing to the needs of saints. Given to hospitality. Okay, so these are a bunch of characteristics should be true in all of our lives as we would do this work of ministry as part of the body of Christ. Okay. Well, that's all I have. I guess you're going to get out early after all. And Jamie, I don't think it worked because I don't think I'm any younger now than I was 3/4 of an hour ago. Noah, if I could ask you to come to the piano to play A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You okay with that? Okay, Steve. And I'll just... it's number 588 in the red. And I'll just pray before you do that. Heavenly Father, we would just come to you now. What a wonder it is to us that that you would give your son to die on the cross for us, that you would desire us to be in your family, and that you would place us in the body of Christ as it pleases you. We are astounded that puny us would give you pleasure by giving, by you placing us in the body of Christ. Help us to take seriously the responsibility that you've given to us. Help us to own this motivation from you. May it be true that we would have zeal, diligence, and love to one another. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this opportunity we've had this evening of singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we just ask your blessing now as we depart shortly in our Savior's name.